Welcome to another episode of OpenPaddock.net's Inside the Helmet, Maseru to Indy edition this time, as we're joined today by Peter Dempsey, driver for O2 Racing Technologies in the Firestone Indy Lights series. Peter Dempsey is from Ashburn, Ireland, and is best known for winning the most races, nine in all, in the history of the Star Mazda Championship during his two seasons with that series in 2008-2009. So join me in welcoming Peter Dempsey. Thank you for joining us, Peter.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks to everyone at OpenPaddock.net for giving me the opportunity to talk to you guys and try to get myself out there a bit more.
Now, I should say to our listeners, if we sound a bit groggy and kind of stilted, well, it's because we are a bit groggy. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here, and Peter, you're just telling me about your adventures coming from St. Petersburg, that you didn't fly a luxury charter jet or anything like that.
No, no, unfortunately, I'm not that lucky to have a jet at the moment. Really, what happened was I do some driver coaching for Junkos Racing in the Star Mazda series, and we decided to drive down to Barber Motorsport for the Star Mazda test, which was 2 weeks ago. And I was in the middle of trying to put my Indy Lights deal together for the season, and I was also working and trying to do the Barber test in the Indy Lights car, which was on the Wednesday following the Star Mazda test. So we took the decision to drive down to Barber from Chicago. And then realizing that, St. Pete was only, the following week, more or less. So we decided to just keep on trucking down past Barber after the test and on down to Orlando, where we stayed there for a few days. And we knew we'd have a long drive after back to Chicago after St. Pete race. But we made it back safely yesterday and got some sleep last night. And now I'm on the road to recovery today.
Well, I know that's it's a very, very long drive. And although, obviously as a racer, you enjoy racing, but, racing and commuting, driving on a highway, that's very, very different. And, man, I can't think of anything more boring than driving down an interstate.
Yeah, that's for sure. There was definitely some times I was trying to remember when my eyes were last open and how far back the car was behind me when I passed them. But
right.
We had to pull over and get a few hours nap and we made it back anyway. Hopefully you don't have to do it too often. It was just one of those situations that it was the right thing to do.
Sure. Well, correct me if I'm wrong in this, but it looks like you started racing cars at anyway, in 2004 in Formula BMW, but you really got your start in go-karts there in Ireland at the ripe old age of 8. Tell me how you got into racing karts in the first place. What was your motivation to get into motorsport?
Well, I was very fortunate to be able to get into motorsport even before the early age of 8. My dad, Cliff Dempsey, owns a racing team in Ireland called Cliff Dempsey Racing, which is now actually based out of the UK. And he started racing himself in mini sevens in the late 70s, and then progressed up to Formula Ford in the early to late 80s in Ireland. And then in 1989, he started his own race team, and I was only 3 years old at the time, so I was around motorsport from, basically from the day I was born. And I think my brother, who's a couple of years older than me, his first time at a race was 2 weeks after he was born. So we've really just been a motorsport family true and true. And over the years, my dad's team has been very, very successful. And over the past, I think it's since 2008, my dad has gone on to run the Team USA scholarship for Jeremy Shaw's program. And it's been very, very successful for him. But going back, I got to start learning from a very early age about motorsport and how it all works. And I got my first opportunity to test a go-kart at 7 years old. And then I started racing competitively in go-karts when I was 8 years old. And just kind of went on from there. I just took it step by step and started working on how to make myself a better driver from that age.
Given how successful your father was in building his racing team and making a business out of motorsports, one of the things that, of course, we as fans often neglect is that making a successful career in motorsports really goes beyond just being able to drive. So as we've seen recently, there's lots of talented people out there that don't necessarily have rides. I imagine having that additional early inspiration and kind of guidance by example helped you develop the business side of your involvement in motorsports. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was I was always one to try and learn as much as possible, not just from all the talented drivers my dad had and it's passed through the team, but also, you know, the way to approach the business side of it. But unfortunately, when I got to the level of, you know, trying to raise my own sponsorship, which really began in 2007, 2008, you know, the economy was just dropping, going the wrong direction, which made it a little bit more difficult. But
Just a little bit.
yeah, but I mean, I was very fortunate. You know, I always raced with my dad's team from when I started, apart from doing a half season in, of Formula BMW. You know, I always raced with his team, and he was always, you know, able to help me with the funding and help me, you know, give me the right car that was, you know, was competitive to win the races. So I was very fortunate, and really, I had to really start working hard myself to pull the money together to go racing in 2008 for my first Star Mazda season.
Well, even before then, starting out really your first full season in cars there in 2005, it was obvious that you had pace. You won in the Formula Ford series there. You won what 33 out of 43 races there that year, winning the Motorsport Ireland Young Racing Driver of the Year award, an award you'd be in contention for what twice more, I believe. That early success, of course, had to be a confidence builder. Did you find that success there helped attract some eyeballs to your talents and to your efforts to progress?
Yeah, definitely. They were very, very good years, 2005, 2004, 2005. Unfortunately, I wasn't allowed to go racing full time until I finished school. That was one thing my mum had always said to me, that, you know, you're not getting in a car until you pass your exam. So I had to work. I was able to do a dabble in a bit of testing and some small races in between 2003, 2004. But really, as you said, 2005 was my biggest year. And to get the chance to compete in 43 races alone was an unbelievable experience. But then also to be so successful and win 33 of them races was, you know, a huge achievement. And at the very end of the year, my dad said to me, you know, remember this year for the rest of your life, because you're probably never going to have another year like it. And at that age, only been, I think I was only 18 at the time, 17, 18, I kind of said, yeah, but, you know, joking with him as if I'm going to have more. But pretty soon after that, I realized that that was the best experience I'm ever going to get again in my life. And just having the chance to do so many races and learn so many different tracks, I was so sharp in the car. I could go out on a new track and learn a track within 3 laps. And, you know, it was an incredible season and one that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
It's at the point at which you realize that motorsports was really the career for you, that's how you wanted to make your living.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I always knew I possibly had the talent to get to the top level of motorsport, and I just need the opportunity. But being so successful that year definitely opened a lot of doors for me, and everyone obviously wanted me to drive for them the following year. But it's just unfortunately I didn't get the opportunity to move up to the Formula 3 ranks in Europe the following year. But I was very fortunate to win the Young Driver of the Year in 2005, which gave me the opportunity to move up to the National Formula Ford UK Series with my dad's team for 2006, which was also another very successful season.
Well, in 2006, you also won the first of your three Walter Haynes trophies. Those of us here in the U.S. May not have heard of Walter Haynes and his involvement in motorsports, both directly and as a journalist. Do you mind telling us a little bit about the Walter Haynes Trophy and kind of what that means as a driver from Ireland?
Yeah, the Walter Hayes Trophy is one of the biggest Formula Ford 1600 events probably in the world at the moment. Walter Hayes, I might not be correct in this, but Walter Hayes is one of the guys who was involved with Ford Motorsport from the very, very early days and really took Ford to having such a strong involvement in motorsport. James Beckett, who was the organizer of the event, decided to have this kind of memorial trophy for Walter Hayes. And it started out in 2002, I think was the first running of the Walter Hayes. And it really, at the start of it was more for historic Formula Ford cars, for like say, late 60s, 70s, 80s Formula Ford cars. But then it kind of grew into this event where you had professional race car drivers coming back from all levels of motorsport to compete in this one-off shootout event, which was not only very competitive, but also a very enjoyable event and a very relaxed feeling. And it's grown to be, you know, one of the best Formula Ford races of the season. And I've been very fortunate to win it, you know, win it my first year in 2006 after having a difficult season in 2006 in the National Formula Ford Championship. But to finish it off with a win and to get my first win under my belt at the Walter Hayes Trophy was fantastic. And I was very happy that led on to a few more.
Yeah, the following year, 2007, you won it again, including and that was one of several great race wins that you had in trophies won in 2007. But then in 2008, you come to the United States to race in the Star Mazda Championship. How did that transition happen? What led you to come to the U.S. to race in open wheel racing?
Well, it really was, you know, I've always watched Star Mazda on TV back home. It was always on Motors TV, and it really attracted me to trying to have a career in the United States in motorsport. 2006, you know, was a very successful year, but my next step after Formula 4 was really to try to get into British Formula 3 in 2007. But just the funding was so much, such a more bigger budget to do that. It was very difficult to try to raise, you know, £6,000 at the time. So unfortunately, 2007, I kind of just worked with my dad's team and driver coached and just really focused on trying to put a Star Mazda program together for 2008. While I did a couple of races and I was very fortunate to win the Walter Hayes again in 2007, my main aim was to come over to the United States and try start a season at least in the Star Mazda Championship. And, you know, I've always watched Kart and Champ Car and IndyCar series, and we've been very lucky to have them on TV in Europe. And it was a huge attraction for me to get over here and to focus on trying to get to the Indy 500 one day.
Well, you're one step closer now, being a driver in the Firestone Indy Light Series. And we've seen relatively recently that the graduation rate from Firestone Indy Lights up to the iSide IndyCar Series has really improved. So got our hopes up for you. You're definitely on the right track. But let me get back to the Star Mazda. Of course, you had run a lot of, as we've been talking, the Formula Ford, which is a 1600 cc engined car, up to Star Mazda, which runs a significantly stronger, more powerful rotary engine. And I was wondering if you could speak to the differences in driving style, the adjustments that you needed to make when going from the 1600 Formula Fords up to the Star Mazdas.
Yeah, so it certainly was a big jump coming from a 1600 Formula Ford car into the Star Mazda. For me, it was a huge learning experience. I've never really had a experience of using a car with so much power and also with a lot of downforce generated by the wings compared to the Formula Ford 1600 cars, and it was a steep learning curve for sure getting into the Star Mazda, just having the confidence with the slick tires and the downforce at the high speed. And also I had to start left foot braking a car for the very first time in 2008, because in the Formula Ford you had to use your left foot for the clutch most of the time, so you always tended to right foot brake. And it really was a kind of a tricky transition over, you know, to try and get the best out of Star Mazda car in such a short space of time. But fortunately, I had a good team behind me, which taught me the right technique and, you know, and the best way to go about trying to learn the car. And it definitely helped me get there much faster.
Well, in fact, you raced for two great teams, AIM Autosport in 2008, and then Junkos Racing in 2009. In fact, I remember you saying earlier you still have a relationship with Junkos Racing as a driver coach, yes?
Yeah, actually, I raced with Anderson Racing in 2008, and then going into 2009, I started the season off with AIM Autosport, but unfortunately, I ran out of funding mid-season, and Junkos Racing came to me with the opportunity to put me in their car for the remainder of the season and try and work with them on bringing them up to the front of the Star Mazda field, and that was really how it happened. But as I said, I came over here for my first season with Anderson Racing, and now I have a working relationship with Junkos Racing in the Star Mazda series, driver coaching and doing their data, and now learning, teaching drivers, you know, what I've learned over the years in the series, that, so they can adapt themselves correct and basically work on trying to get the best out of them.
Well, in 2008, you and I apologize for getting that incorrect. You know, Anderson Racing was a was certainly a real standout type of team. It's unfortunate that they've backed away from racing operations for now, but you know, they were always a mainstay and a strong competitors in both Star Mazda Championship and also in Firestone and Indy Lights. But with them, you had, what, 3 pole positions, 4 wins, and 7 podiums in 2008. Not too bad for coming in as a rookie, having only driven the Formula Fords. And that put you third in the championship behind John Edwards and Joel Miller. 2009, you had improved even more with 5 wins and 6 poles, and then, 6 total podiums. I'm sorry, 4 poles, 5 poles, and 6 podiums, and came up just shy, coming up in second position to Adam Christodoulou. Those two really, really strong seasons in Star Mazda, and in fact, within those two seasons, becoming the winningest driver in Star Mazda Championship history with 9 total race wins. I thought surely in 2010 that we'd be seeing you move up somewhere, hopefully to Firestone and Indy Lights. But 2010 didn't really turn out quite the way that many of us fans watching 2008, 2009 really kind of expected.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect it myself. You know, two very successful seasons in the Star Mazda Championship, both in 2008, 2009, and they weren't difficult. They weren't easy seasons for me either. You know, I was really, during both seasons, I was just doing it race by race with limited testing and limited tires. And to come out, you know, over the two seasons of really looking back at it, I don't know how I managed to get through both seasons. I owe all the teams that helped me, Anderson Racing, A Motorsport, and especially Junkos Racing, a huge thank you, because without their support, I would never have been in a position to stay in the car, just mainly due to finances. But fortunately, once I started winning, you know, in both seasons, the teams, the last thing they wanted was for me to not be in the car. So everyone worked extremely hard to make sure that that happened. But moving on to 2010, after having such a successful season in 2009 and just coming up short in the championship with Junkos Racing, was pretty hard to take, you know. It was something that was out of my control at the time. Unfortunately, it was just another driver, you know, took me out at in the last race, which was his mistake and my loss. So everyone said to me, you know, that I'd have a chance to try and I'll pick a drive up somewhere, you know, don't give up, and you know, focus on trying to get into the Indy Lights, Firestone Indy Lights series, or focus on trying to maybe get into some American Le Mans series. And I worked pretty hard over the winter and talked to a lot of teams and tried to raise the funding, but just, well, I found it very, very difficult. I'm over here in the States now, like, I'm doing everything myself. I don't have a manager or a marketing guy, so it's, sometimes it works in your favor, but when it comes to really working on the business-to-business side, I just probably didn't have the experience at the time. So 2010, I ended up, you know, just being full-time with Junkos Racing, unfortunately not competing in competitive racing, but as their test driver and driver coach and data analyst. So that's where it kind of ended up.
Well, in 2010, at the very end, you did end up in a Le Mans prototype car, LMP2 car, for the Petit Le Mans down at Road Atlanta. That had to be quite an experience, and again, yet a much different car than what you were used to.
Yeah, it was a dream of mine, actually, to be honest, to try and compete in the Petit Le Mans race with the American Le Mans series. And Road Atlanta is probably my track I most enjoy driving in the United States. I was very fortunate to race a Formula 4 2000 car in 2008. I jumped in the car with no testing and just went straight out into qualifying because the driver had I'd quit right before qualifying. The team put me in the car and I went out and qualified. I think it was third after first 15 minutes of qualifying. So it was a track that I really enjoy driving, and Liebherr Racing from the American Le Mans Championship came to me and to give me the opportunity to have the experience of competing in the Petit Le Mans race. And I did two successful tests with them before the event, and they were very, very impressed with how I did, considering I'd never driven a car at that speed or downforce, and also had carbon brakes, and of course the size was a big difference what I was used to. But driving the Radical LMP2 car was a great experience, a huge learning curve, and I'm very thankful to get the opportunity to do it, because I really feel that it's only going to help me with my career, having a lead into sports car racing. Because unfortunately, your single-seater career only lasts really up until your late 30s. So to have that opportunity to get into sports cars at an early age is definitely going to help me in the future.
So it's quite likely that we may see you pursuing some sports car rides on and off here in the near future as well. We just had the 12 Hours of Sebring, and there are a number of open wheel racers, and including some IndyCar drivers. Ryan Hunter-Reay was racing there at Sebring, and of course we see some people come out for the Petit Le Mans as well. So is this going to be something that you continue to pursue, getting a kind of a one-off ride every now and then?
Yeah, ideally that would be a great opportunity for me to try and do a couple of sports car races, if it's in the American Le Mans series or the Grand Am series. I think it's a great opportunity, but also I need to make sure that I'm still obviously 110% focused on my Indy Lights season this year. But any opportunity to do some laps in a racing car, I'm the one that's going to take them. So fingers crossed, I can get in and do some races. Aim to do the Petit Le Mans again this year if the opportunity is there, and hopefully I can get a few more laps in the car and finish the race.
Well, before we get into your experience with the Firestone Indy Lights Series, we had a wonderful discussion with the what I've coined the Juncos Racing Quartet, the four drivers they have in the Star Mazda series this year, and the very unique preseason testing regimen they had, a 3-week boot camp style of testing where it was just back to back to back. Here's three different tracks, let's go. And you were their driver coach and data analyst during that test, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I worked full time last year with the team, and basically I was their driver coach and data last year, and I worked very close with Conor Daly and really made a difference of him, improving from 2009 to 2010. So obviously, they're in a position to keep me involved with them this year, and we did three very, very important tests in January with our four drivers, and to be honest, it made a huge difference. And it was great to work with them guys. They're an awesome team, so it went very, very well. It was a lot of work and a lot of time to make it all happen, but the guys did an awesome job, and the drivers learned an incredible amount.
Well, and I think their training shows in the recent results there at St. Petersburg. They all had some pretty strong showings. Unfortunate incident for Tatiana early on. Martin Squincio certainly seemed to be right up there at the sharp end. So looks like that training regimen has done what it's intended. And you continue to serve in this role as driver coach for Juncos Racing while you're racing in the Firestone Indy Lights Series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We went to Roebling Road to do a test earlier on the season, and unfortunately one of our drivers had an accident at Homestead, which put him out of the test, but it was great. It was a great experience. What we did was, I drove all three cars and back-to-backed them against the drivers in the cars so they could see, how to get the most out of what they've got.
Right.
I think doing that, back-to-back in me in their car versus themselves, they really got to see, how to drive the car and how to adapt to the car, if the setup isn't 100% right. And I really feel, especially for Martin and Tatiana, that they benefited a huge amount by us doing the back-to-back test. I think it made them a lot stronger and made them, you know, push the car more to the limit, because they could see the way that I was able to get in and get the best out of it. So,
well, you know, especially with Tatiana, there's already an obvious improvement in her performance in the Star Mazda car from last year to this year. But you're racing now in the Firestone Indy Light Series, full season deal, with O2 Racing Technology in their Pulse car, number 36. How did you connect with O2 Racing Technologies?
Really, Mark Olson and O2 Racing Technology have kind of been a fan of mine, obviously, since my Star Mazda days. He'd always wanted to try give me the opportunity to get in the car. And unfortunately, it just didn't happen in 2010. But it kind of came through. Mark Olson was talking to Mark Moore, and Mark said, you know, that if he had the opportunity to put me in one of his cars, that I'd be the guy he'd pick. And I think Mark Olson really listened to Mark Moore and contacted me. And in a very short space of time, really before St. Pete, we managed to put the deal together, and we're both working extremely hard to make sure we can, you know, keep me in the car for the full season. And we did a very, very good test at Barber Motorsport, and then we went on to test at Homestead just a week before St. Pete, and it worked really, really well with the team. We felt that we had a competitive car, and, you know, it was a late deal to come together. You know, everyone worked so hard to make it happen. I'm very thankful to all my supporters and sponsors and partners that, you know, are giving me the opportunity to do this. And you know, then we got it all together, and we rolled the truck down to St. Pete, and that's where we ended up.
Well, you obviously did have a very competitive car there at St. Petersburg. On the opening lap, you take the lead, and kept the lead for 11 laps. For the first 11 laps, you're out front. Lap 12, Joey Newgarden finally got you there in turn 5, and then I think Connor Daly made his way past as well, but still a podium finish there in the first outing with very little testing really in the O2 car. You just had Barber, and that was it. And then to come and put it on the podium, first race out of the box, that had to be a great, great feeling.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience. You know, as I said before, even to have the chance to get to St. Petersburg in a Firestone Indy Lights car was an achievement in itself. And then, you know, to have the opportunity with my sponsors, Microbiology and Pulse, and I also have great support from Motorsport Ireland back home, obviously, you know, winning the Young Driver of the Year both in 2005 and 2008. They're still in a position to support me a little bit with my Firestone Indy Lights program this year. And they're all the guys that made it happen and to get me in the car for the race. And we rolled off the truck, you know, after having limited amount of mileage in pre-season testing. You know, I think we are 7 days of testing behind the guys at Sam Schmidt Motorsport.
Yeah, that's a tough team right there. To be up and running with a Sam Schmidt Motorsports car, that takes some doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're dead right. It's, I mean, they have been the dominant team in the past in the Firestone Indy Light Series, and, you know, for us with a smaller team, with a group of guys that haven't, you know, worked a whole lot of time together as a team at O2 Racing Technology, like, we're learning, you know, every mile we do on the track, we're going to be learning stuff. And I feel a team like Sam Schmidt Motorsport, you know, they're already at their peak. You know, they're not going to improve a whole lot more over the season, and we're going to get closer and closer. And to just have the opportunity to get a great start after I made a huge mistake in qualifying, and I still apologize to the team. You know, I definitely had a car to qualify in the front row, but unfortunately I clipped the wall on my first run on new tires and damaged front suspension, and I had to sit out the last 15 minutes of qualifying and just watch the timing screen, which was heartache, to be fair. But I sat there and...
It had to be, but, you know, St. Petersburg, that track, it's so narrow, the walls are so close. That type of brush with the wall, it happens to everybody at every level. I know it had to be kind of gutting, but, you know, of course, we saw it with the big cars. They had even more issues. I'm sure you were there to see the start and subsequent restarts there at the Izod IndyCar race, and just the massive chaos that the big cars experienced there in turn one. The Farson and the Lights race, though, seemed to have avoided a lot of that chaos. Thoughts on why there was so many issues with the Indy cars that the Indy Lights cars didn't have?
Well, it's a tricky question. I think first of all, the Firestone Indy Lights drivers, we're all kind of in there, on a limited budget, and we're all experienced enough guys that have come across and like raced in Europe and raced in the Star Mazda series to know that, it's the first race of the season, and really, it's what's most important is just to try to get some points on the board for everybody involved. And all the drivers talked before the race at the drivers' meeting, and everyone had the same idea: just make sure we all finish, have a clean race, and just start the season off with as little amount of accident damage as possible. And comparing that to the IndyCar series, where you've got professional drivers in there, young drivers in the car for their first time, moving up from the Firestone Indy Lights series from last year, and you've got a lot of wild cards also coming across from Europe. It's a hugely competitive series. Everyone's trying to make their mark at their first race to try and attract the likes of Chip Ganassi or the Penske teams, and I think everyone just were kind of putting a bit too much on the table, and they all are maybe a little bit attacking a little bit too much for the first race of the season, and it caused mistakes, and unfortunately some of the innocent people got taken out in the race too. But I think the main reason is just everyone's trying to impress their teams, for the first race of the season instead of making sure you bring the car home and get points on the board.
I think we're in full agreement with you. We had our we had this out kind of hashing it out last night on our weekly podcast, and the way you describe the Firestone Indy Lights racers, what they're looking at, I think it speaks to maybe something that we had brought up and something that I think Robin Miller brought up in his to a degree in his recent article about this, was the aspect of risk and the level of risk versus reward, and that for drivers there in the Firestone Indy Lights series, crash damage can end up being a huge part of your budget if you assume too much risk, and of course that's got to play huge into any driver's thoughts going into that turn one.
Yeah, I mean, it can make the difference of you finishing your season and not finishing your season. So if your budget is tight, which I know it is for a lot of the drivers in the series, you need to be safe and make sure you impress the team and your sponsors rather than anything else. Because if you're out of turn one, you're not going to learn, 10% as much as you would as if you finished the race.
Well, now, next, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, or next race, you return to Barber. And so this will be a track that you've been to before in this car. So that's got to provide a bit of a comfort level for you. Will you be able to use some of the testing data that you had from Barber, or were you trying to test so many diverse things that perhaps those data won't be as applicable to race day?
I feel that the test that we did in Barber is going to be vital to our performance there. We worked very hard and just focused on trying to. Obviously, it was my first day in the car, so I had a lot to learn also and to learn the track. But I learned a lot about the car and what direction we need to go with the car. And I think now, after having a full race weekend's experience at St. Petersburg, I learned an awful lot more as well. Like basically, my first long stint in the car was at the St. Pete race. We didn't have the time, we didn't have the testing time over the winter to do any race runs or and it, always when we were in our practice sessions, we kept our runs a little bit too short. We probably shot ourselves in the foot going into the race at St. Pete because the car did fall off a little bit. But at the Barber test, we had a good car, and I'm pretty confident going there that we're definitely going to have another top five car going into the weekend. And I think now with a bit more experience that I have in the car, that there should be no reason we should be able to push for another podium.
Fantastic. We certainly wish you the best of luck there in Barber. And our editor in chief and proprietor Sean Peachin We'll be down there, and hopefully you'll be able to track you down there in the paddock and make a greeting and get a photo. So best of luck to you this next race and in the coming season. Thank you very, very much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate the time.
No, I really appreciate you guys, giving me the opportunity to talk with OpenPaddock.net, and I'm looking forward to Barber, and if I can get another podium and keep my nose clean, hopefully I can get a step higher, two steps higher on the podium.
There we go. Stand on that top step. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Doug. I really appreciate it.